afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I am Gary Lucy, and I am ready to rock and roll this whole place.
Are you going to tear it up today?
Yeah. I hope, I don't care about if I get my deposit back.
Are we going to blow the roof off this place?
Well, I don't know about that.
What stage patter? What is some stage patter that people would say?
How's everybody doing tonight?
How's everyone doing tonight?
Hello, Studio City.
A lot of good looking girls out there.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I hear that in a lot of the bands I see.
I hear there's some Matt Belknap's in the house. Woo! He's holding up his lighter.
That's right. That's silent partner.
Oh man, how's it going? How's your week?
Good. Everything's good. You were a guest on my wife's podcast.
Yeah,
yesterday.
That was fun. That's a good podcast. On the page, you know, I was by all accounts, I was witty, I was charming, I was engaging, and I'm gonna try that today.
All right, perfect.
I thought that might be.
I heard that you were all three of those things. So that's great.
So. Boy, something crazy happened to me. I got infected by the contagion,
the movie.
Yeah, you know, no, I was just driving along with my son. He said, "You put on some music I might like." So we put on the serious hits, and this happened. It was
You ready?
Yeah, and it's like. It's not a matter like if I like it or not. It's just like, it's like a mosquito doesn't worry if you like it or not. He's biting you, and that's.
Wait, I know this song.
Yeah. It's not just Selena Gomez.
This is Selena Gomez, yeah.
Selena Gomez and The Scene. That's her band.
My girls have all her CDs.
Man, this wait till this hook gets in your head here. It is. It doesn't get much more reptilian than this. It is just like.
Can she sing? She can sing, right?
Yeah, I think so. She's got a way.
I think so too. Hey,
listen to this. One more time. Let's hit that again.
So
beep, 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 beep.
So Preston's 10.
He's 9.
He's 9. And does he, and he enjoys this song?
Yeah, he loves this, and his favorite music observation is like, "Oh yeah, I know this from the Kids Bop version."
Does he have a little bit of a crush maybe on Selena Gomez?
Yeah, he's starting to like he's noticing the ladies a little bit more and let me on. He's like, "She's actually pretty cute." She is cute. Yeah, good for her. But anyway, so that was
good for her.
Was my week. So I'm waiting for that new and hopefully by the time I get home, that new Wilco will be there and I could cleanse out.
Did you, they have a new album coming out this
week?
Yeah,
it comes out this week.
So there's going to be a battle this week on the charts between Switchfoot and Chickenfoot.
Oh man, battle of the feet.
They battle of the feet. They both have albums coming out this week. Foot fight, you know it.
What goes on in that Chickenfoot podcast? I was noticing on there that...
I've got to assume just a bunch of unlistenable talk.
Because your wife was suggesting maybe we switch over to the music charts. You know, that thinking that on iTunes maybe.
Oh yeah, she had said that to me. Wonder if we should go music, because I looked at the top like 25 music podcasts and they all look really dull.
I think it's just a different thing. I think it's all about dubstep and club music and everything. So maybe
that is
cut through. But we're like, you know, this is like a real specialty. This is like our arcana that we're talking.
That's
about.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody cares, Pat. But but
the new Chickenfoot CD cover will be in 3D.
Ooh, do you need special glasses?
I think it comes with.
But there's bifocal 3D glasses for the Chickenfoot fan.
That's funny. Okay, hey, look. You want to start this game?
Well,
That's me getting mad. Okay, look. Are we going to do this?
I was going to save our game for the end of the show because I think it's going to carry over. But
let's do it.
But I understand you had an installment in what's becoming my favorite feature on the show, Not So Great Moments in Hip Hop.
Well, it's not that. This actually goes along with our topic today.
But okay.
It is something that's ridiculous. Our topic today is going to be solo albums.
Oh, okay.
And this isn't one of my choices, but in order to get into the into the funniness, we have to play a little bit of David Lee Roth's Yankee Rose.
Ooh.
What? Well, let me roll up onto the sidewalk and take a look. Yes. Whoa.
Wow.
She's beautiful.
What?
I'm talking about a Yankee Rose.
Okay, Matt, now go to the next track.
Como? Bueno, déjame nomás subir a la acera para echarle un ojo. Uy. Bella. Me refiero a la Yankee Rose. Una rosa silvestre. Salvaje. 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 ¿Quieres saber la más nueva noticia?
Okay, stop. Dave's first solo album after leaving Van Halen is Eat 'Em and Smile, and he recorded the whole album in Spanish.
Well, sure.
So, Matt, if you want to play just a second of Going Crazy from the Heat, English.
Oh, yeah. Cuando loco.
Now go Spanish.
Corriendo por la carretera tropical.
It works. Okay. Okay. Oh, one more. It's a Frank Sinatra classic.
La vida es así.
I don't know. I might like the Spanish version better than the American.
It has a certain sound. I was amazed to hear that Steve Vai's guitar was bilingual.
He should have played Spanish guitar on these songs.
Oh yeah.
So that's my funny oddity of the week that goes in with our topic, which is solo albums.
And that's so that was kind of rappy and it was kind of bilingual. But next week we're gonna have a not so great moment in hip hop that's like not just like an inept like rap, but it's also it could be considered elder abuse. So just like
So
be sure to come back for episode 13 on that. But as you said, our topic is solo albums, and this, you know, naturally with my paranoid nature, I thought maybe you were laying the groundwork that you're thinking about leaving the band, like you're thinking solo.
I got no place to go.
Oh.
I'm like Richard Gere from Officer and the Gentleman. I got no place to go. All right, mayonnaise. So solo album, sometimes a member of the band, not necessarily the singer, he'll just break off and do a side project, do a solo album, then he'll come back to the band. Sometimes the singer wants to do a solo album and then never comes back to the band, or sometimes the band breaks up. Got to move on.
If you're in a band and someone makes a solo album, is there any way to not take it personally, or do you just like...
Unless they do something so drastically different from what the band is doing. Otherwise, yeah, I think you're like, well, come on, dude. Why couldn't we have just done those songs with you?
Okay.
Right, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, yeah, it just seems like, you know, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah, like Lou Gramm from Foreigner, he goes and he makes a solo album, and it sounds just like Foreigner. Well, what's the big deal?
I was working at a radio station.
Money,
then.
Matt says it's money.
He doesn't want to split it up.
The almighty dollar.
When that Lou Gramm album came out to kind of, you know, create a buzz about it, the record company, it was like Atlantic or something. They sent out a single blue Crayola crayon, midnight blue, with no explanation. Just like, think about it.
You know what happened? Yeah. People took that crayon and threw it in the trash. Midnight blue crayon. What a terrible... I hope that the promotion guy
got fired
for that. It's terrible.
But R.E.M. does a good version of Midnight Blue.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, but that's neither here nor there. What? So we want to talk about some of our favorite solo projects.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite solo projects. And I want to start with one. This came out, I can't even say the word. Posthumously, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And this is from Joey Ramone. The Ramones, and he was deceased, and this came out in 2002. He was working on a solo album. It was called "Don't Worry About Me," and this song, he wrote a song for the Emmy Award-winning American television journalist Maria Bartiromo.
Yes,
and here's a little bit of that song. I love this song.
Yes.
What's happening on Squawk Box? What's happening with my stats? We'll get to the chorus. This actually could have made my girls list if I would have thought about it.
Write what you know. And he, I guess he was watching a lot of CNBC.
He was. When he was, yeah, when he was sick.
When he was
watching
sick,
a lot of, and he had a crush on her. And so he wrote Maria Bartiromo, which is, that's kind of cool.
With the flip side, Campbell Brown is a punk rocker. Some of those news babes are pretty pretty hot.
Yeah, like that Ann Coulter. No, not
what
her.
The?
I'm kidding.
It's a man,
yeah, do you ever
baby.
See the weather? What's the thing with the weather girls in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
They've all got the giant mountains.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Filipina Les. What's her name? Yeah, that's I'm in it for the meteorology. I don't know what
you name. Just want to know what the forecast
exactly.
is.
Gotcha.
What do you got, Gary?
Who's that? That Fritz Coleman. She's pretty easy on the
She
eye.
Is unbelievable.
Handsome woman of a certain age. I'm just going to throw it down. Here's my opening, Auntie. No, just like the first thing that popped into my head when you said this, it's Frank Black, Headache. This wrinkle in time can't give it no credit. I thought about my space. Now it really got me down. I got me so down, I got me a headache. My heart's crammed in my cranium, and it still knows how to pound. It's a good song.
Yeah, this is it's from the album Teenager of the Year. I think it's his second
solo album.
Pixies solo, and it's pretty perfect. And this song's just great. Gets right to the point. Love it.
Now, does this sound? I'm not real familiar with the Pixies. Does this sound? Is this a departure?
It's kind of in the same vein.
Okay,
I would say. Yeah. Anyway, so.
And the Pixies are still together.
They're together, and now they're like a touring act. Who knows if they'll ever
do any new music?
Yeah, but they had a song on the Shrek soundtrack that got rejected. But
how do you get rejected from this? Because they want that Counting Crows song.
More room for Smash Mouth. Yeah, that's how it is. You know how it goes.
Wow, that's weird. And have you heard that song?
It's great. Yeah, it's a Kim Deal song called Bam Thwack.
No, we can,
we'll play that next week on our Rejected Shrek show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. a rejected song.
It's really good.
Okay, so my this next one, this is really obscure. This came out in 1980, and I got a little bit of ramp up on this.
Okay,
so the artist is Barry Goudreau.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Of course you don't. He is he was the rhythm guitarist in the band Boston.
All right.
Okay, so Boston releases their first album in 76, uh-huh. their second album in 78,
yeah.
and then while the main songwriter, lead guitarist Tom Scholz is trying to get songs and stuff ready for a third album, Barry Goudreau gets signed by the same label as Boston's on to do a solo album. And what he does is he takes Boston's singer and Boston's drummer along with him for his solo album.
I was going to say, what's Brad Delp doing this whole time? But he's along for
He's on the... But this thing, the cover is just a picture of Barry Goudreau.
No,
it's just like a portrait of this guy. But to me, if you think that Third Stage from 1986 is the third Boston album, and you love Boston, you have to pick this up. We're going to play two cuts. You're not going to believe this. Now, is that a Barry Goudreau song, or is this a Boston song?
Wow.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Man.
This song's called Dreams, and now play the next one. This is called Hard Luck.
Yeah.
Sounds exactly like Boston.
Yeah. Boy.
Now, here's the deal. I know not a lot of people like Boston. But if you're out there right now and you had no idea about this album, go to iTunes. It's on iTunes. It's nine songs. Six are sung by Bradley Delp. Uh-huh. The other three are sung by a guy named Fran Cosmo, who actually replaced Bradley Delp in for the fourth Boston studio album. So this is a Boston album.
This is more Boston than that movie, The Fighter.
But it always cried, like, and a lot of people don't know about this album. So here's some Boston music for you under the guise of Barry Goudreau.
Goudreau, how do you spell that?
G-O-U-D. R-E-A-U.
Okay. I want to make sure not to accidentally get that. No. It's good. It sounds I don't mind Boston. That's kind of that, like...
That's a real niche thing. And I thought, well, when else am I going to be able to talk about Barry Goudreau's album? And this is good. And it's kind of a sneaky solo project.
Nice. Wow. That's excellent. That's like, if you learn nothing else from this, that's going to be my takeaway for this episode. And maybe this will be yours. Now, we just... saw Selena Gomez demonstrate that it's very hard to make that transition from child actor to pop star.
Right.
But someone who I think has handled it with grace and aplomb is an 80s child actor who was – I forget what show she was on. It wasn't like Empty Nest or something like that. And then she was in some movies like with Fred Savage and stuff. Her name's Jenny Lewis, formed a band called Rilo Kiley. Amazing, like very popular in L.A., you know, just you can't like buy a ticket when they play in L.A. She and much like Blondie or No Doubt or something, you know, those other loads in Rilo Kiley are like, hey, we're a band, right? You're not going anywhere, right? Because she's starting to make some solo albums and they rule. And her first one is maybe one of my all-time favorite records. It's called Rabbit Fur Coat. And it's it kind of like talks about a lot about her childhood and, you know, growing up with a crazy mom and like threw into show business stuff. But what she did on that album that's kind of cool that I think you'll like is she kind of assembled her own Traveling Wilburys, like an alt-rock Traveling Wilburys. So we got and they did a cover of Handle With Care. So,
oh, that's great.
So take a listen to this and I'll break it down after.
Been beat up and battered around. Been sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable. Situation's tolerable. Baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care. I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care?
Ben Gibbard from Death Cab there.
Everybody,
this is M. Ward from She and Him.
You do need more than one vocalist on this song.
Yeah, you need some dudes. And then you can take that. Then Bright Eyes comes in later for the George Harrison bit. So,
boy, this could have been on our cover show, too. That's a great lot of crossover topics songs today.
I only like seven songs, so there's going to be some overlap. But, Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins, Rabbit Fur Coat. Go to YouTube and look up the song Rise Up With Fist. Amazing video with – it's kind of a hee-haw spoof and with Sarah Silverman's in there. And I just worn that thing out. Mr. Belvedere, she was on there apparently, Golden Girls. Anyway.
That's great. Now she's a recording artist.
Now she's a recording star. Anyway, so what's
it didn't seem to happen for that Tina Yothers, but this chick,
that's like,
this chick has got some success.
What if I was Tina Yothers?
What if it was?
Move over Juliet and the Licks, because this is going to be.
Do you like that Juliet and the Licks stuff?
You know, actually, I kind of heard it, and
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
That's not a reigning endorsement. This is not that bad.
You know, because your expectation is it's going to be
crazy.
Tina Yothers the second, or something. But no, it's all right.
Yeah. Juliet Lewis.
All right.
Crazy chick. What do I got for now? My next one is from 1988. This is when the Stones were in a little bit of turmoil. I think this is their biggest turmoil was in that 86 through 89 period, right before Steel Wheels came out, and Mick had done a solo album, and him and Keith weren't talking, and Keith just said, that he was going to go do a solo album. He probably said, like, and so his
no,
first
not want any salami. What?
So his first solo album was "Talk Is Cheap" from 1988, and this is a song called "How I Wish." Who does that? Does that sound like the Stones?
It kind of does.
That's Steve Jordan on drums.
Oh yeah, the Expensive Winos, right?
Yep.
That's the name of the
Expensive
band.
Winos. Yeah. Keith's voice is an acquired taste, but I still like it better than Tom Waits.
It's very lifted. Like, he comes by it naturally.
Yeah.
Tom Waits is doing his character.
And he had a hit on this album. The hit was "Take It So Hard."
Take It So Hard.
And he did a solo tour.
I remember hearing him describe it. You know, he does that five-string open G tuning.
Yeah.
And he's like, he described his guitar technique. He's like, "All you need is five strings, three fingers, and one arsehole."
Well, then, wait, I should be able to play guitar like a madman. Yeah. But it always, there were some great songs in this, and there were some great songs on Mick's solo album, and it's a shame they couldn't have made a Stones album instead of their solo albums sometimes. But
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
50-year anniversary coming up.
It's crazy. Next year, 50 years of the Stones.
That's keep going. I say, why go for 60?
Yeah, go for 60.
Like, yeah, if there's a
they need to die on stage, right?
Yeah, pull over. Yeah, that's gonna be great. I can't wait for that. Someone else who is you know, definitely an eligible for AARP membership, and this is that one I was giving you hints about, and I think you probably guess it. He has a brand new solo album just out this week, and I wasn't a huge fan of his solo work before, but this album is really cool. It's like it's very weird and very tuneful and listenable. This is Lindsey Buckingham from the Seeds We Sow album. Oh, look, he's got it right here in the thing.
Pardo brought me this today. He was on Conan and some of these were lying around the office,
nice.
And he brought me one. So I know this. So go ahead, play.
Let's hear. I think it's called "That's the Way Love Goes." I think is what I got cleared up. This is interesting. Minuet or something there.
This is all self-produced and. Yeah, that sounds a lot like some of those Tusk songs.
Some of those
I was
Tusk
playing.
Songs, exactly. Yeah,
I will have to. Yeah, and he's not on the label anymore. Reprise and Warner's didn't want to release this, so he went independently with it.
And I think he has a new relevance following his stint on What Up With That.
Yeah, on Saturday Night Live. That's hysterical.
They could do that every week, as far as I'm concerned. It's always funny.
I just cry when I see it. It's my favorite sketch.
Yeah.
I'll bring you a copy of his last album, Gift of Screws, which was really, and that was just from 2 years ago.
Oh.
And yeah, it's good stuff.
Not too shabby. All right, what's on your agenda there?
My agenda is for these right wing. Oh, I'm sorry. What are we doing? Okay. So this was this is from 2010. This is one of my favorite albums of last year. I played this thing nonstop. I love it. And the artist is Brandon Flowers.
Oh, okay.
And he's from The Killers.
The Killers.
And I'm not a Killers fan. I like their hit songs, the ones I hear on the radio.
Yeah.
But as far as to get into a whole Killers album, I'm not into it. But this album, Flamingo, I liked it. I liked it from top to bottom, and even the deluxe edition four bonus tracks. I love those. So this is. I got two clips from this. I got First one's, and it's called Flamingo. It's a concept album about Las Vegas, which is where he was born and raised. And this is called Jilted Lovers and Broken Hearts.
Muscular, pretty macho.
And this next song is, I'll get a little ramp up on it. It's called Was It Something I Said? And it's about a guy who's getting ready to propose to his girl. Her name's Valentino. Hmm. And she breaks up with him right there.
Ouch.
And so, Was It Something I Said?
Me and Valentino went down to the chapel, but the gates were shut. I had my vows in my pocket and a gold-plated ring for my honey love. We headed down Tropicana to the corner with a late night restaurant.
Just love this boppiness.
We sat across from each other. When I looked in her eyes, there was something gone.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Was it something that I said or did? Was it something that I should have kept hid? If you leave me hanging, I don't know what I'll do. It doesn't matter who's wrong or right. In the clear of the blue moonlight, you got me on my knees, Valentino. This is not like you.
I love it.
That's neat. That puts me in the mind of all those YouTube videos of people proposing at halftime at NBA games and the girl saying no. I think they're fake, but they're always funny.
Now, I will tell you one. I was at a concert once where there was and it was a big band at the time. Still big, but really big at this time. It was, I think this might have been 1991 or 92. This was in Wisconsin at one of those. It was called Summerfest.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a huge deal.
It's gigantic. And I was seeing Bon Jovi.
Sure, sure. Okay.
And she's dismissive. Sure, sure. And a guy like four rows.
Dismissive. Look at over here.
Yeah, I know. He's playing on his phone. Yeah, could care less about the story.
Anyway. Matt's
a guy like sitting two rows in front of me, spotlight comes on him and his girl, and John Bon Jovi starts saying, "Hey, I got a letter backstage tonight," and he does the whole ramp up, and he proposes to her right then and there.
Oh wow! And
she says yes.
She said yes.
It's in front of everyone.
Oh.
I think if you really don't want to get a no, that's when you do it in public like that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool. I'm like, really? Oh. Is this really happening?
That's why, you know, I just saw that at I saw that Inara George from the Bird and the Bee and you know who does that. Hall & Oates cover album that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And same thing. The guy comes up and she sang Sarah Smile for him because his betrothed was named Sarah, and it was romantic.
Yeah, is it romantic or is it stupid?
It's a little...
I guess it's better than the Jumbotron at the Dodger game.
Yeah, just barely. Yeah, you want to keep that private. Like, you like that Millionaire Matchmaker? You ever watch that show?
Oh, that girl's a bitch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but there was a freak job on there last night. It was just, he had it in his mind he wanted to have twin baby girls. And that's, you know.
and he sounds like he's gay.
He seemed super gayish.
I want to have twin baby girls.
Yeah, and well, for the first date, he took her to a spa.
Oh, wait, I thought you meant he wanted to date twin baby girls.
Twin baby girls, exactly. Yeah. No, he wants to be a father, but he wants to have twin baby. And he took the gal to a spa, and he decided, I'm going to do the facial myself. And so he gave her a facial right there on Bravo.
Bravo.
And gave her like a foot massage. He's like, oh, this is to loosen up your ovaries for my twin baby girl. And it was...
Did he continually say twin baby girl?
Yeah.
That is like some type of a Chris Kattan character.
That's exactly what it was like. But the point I'm trying to make is I think... I would like it if Brandon Flowers, like, hire a keyboard player. Step away. I don't like a front man, like, anchored down like that. I want you to move around.
I didn't even realize that he plays keyboards in front. He's not just a front guy with the...
Sometimes, yeah, he'll do, like, the little side one hand. Yeah, he'll just do, like, a little hand job over there with the...
You don't like the Killers.
I like them okay. You know, as much as you do. Yeah, I like those hits and everything.
I know what you're talking about, though, because I saw Cheap Trick at the Greek Theater just... Friday night, and they played first part of the show. They played Dream Police.
Oh,
album.
You went to that show, yeah?
They played it front to back, and for those nine songs, Robin Zander didn't strap the acoustic on or the rhythm guitar. He was just a front man with just a microphone, and it was so fun to see him do that again because now he always has a guitar on him, and I like when he's just the front guy.
They got to double up, you know. They got a lot of expenses. They can't be. But didn't they have like a symphony or something?
They just, yeah, they had an orchestra and background vocalists, and it was quite a show.
Now, are you human or are you dancer? Which just getting back to that. Anyway, Matt, could you hit this song here? It's got a bit of a lead in, but maybe I could talk over some of the stuff. This is now we talked about how people will often do a solo album because they feel constrained by the confines of their day job groups, and I think that's certainly true on the case of this guy. It's a real departure.
Is this Eric Clapton?
No, this is Fred Schneider from the B-52s.
Oh yeah, this sounds totally different.
Getting loose. Yeah, what do you hear? What do you hear? How left field this
was
gets
this
for
the
him?
Guy who wanted to have twin baby girls, Fred Schneider?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. And they sing backup the twin baby girls on this. Mm-hmm. Here.
There's a monster in my pants, and it does a nasty dance. When it moves in and out, everybody starts to shout.
Completely different from B-52s.
Monster! Monster! Get out of here! Monster!
Anyway, so you can see how he'd need to stretch his wings and fly.
And what album is this off of? Is this off Just Fred?
This is called Fred Schneider and the Shake Society. His first one from like the mid-80s.
Wow. It's crazy.
There's a monster in my pants.
God bless that guy. He's like, I think he's the homosexual even conservatives can love. Like, okay. No one can get married except for Fred Schneider. I wouldn't mind if he taught my kids. He's like, you know, he's definite, you know, gay best friend, you know, vibe. You know. Don't go there, girlfriend. Somebody to say that in your life.
Oh my God.
You know. Anyway.
Now, did you bring that for just for fun, or do you like that?
Oh,
do you own this? Or
what's the difference? I mean, yeah, it's good. It's fine. Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
God bless Fred. That's my
whip out a Fred Schneider. And, yeah.
Why not? I was thinking, because you know, I had like a lot. I had like, you know, Julian Casablancas and
right.
The Strokes and James Iha, like all these ones I wanted to play. But you know, like mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I always start out. I have like I have 20 possibles, yeah, and then I got to edit it down.
Yeah,
and this guy made the cut.
Let's hear.
This is also from what was one of my favorite albums from last year, 2010, and it's Peter Wolf.
Oh, okay.
He's the former lead singer of the Jay Giles Band, and you know what? I never really like Jay Giles Band that much. Yeah. I like a couple of their hits. Mm. Again, just like Brandon Flowers with the Killers hits. But I love Peter Wolf solo, and I have two tracks here. This first one's called Tragedy, and then Shelby Lynn pops in on this with
him.
Oh,
okay.
Saw this guy at Largo.
I think I won the Fool's Award today. The way I made my baby cry.
What'd you do, Peter?
I can't believe the stupid things I say.
You dummy.
Without one good reason why. I know that life has got its ups and downs. I could take whatever comes around. But if you ever take your love from me, now that would be the tragedy.
The game of love that comes so easily. I thought we'd never have to hide.
So there's a little taste of Tragedy.
That's really neat.
And then, thank you. I didn't write it. I did mix it. No. And then there's another track in the album because I couldn't decide which track to play. And this is a little bit different flavor. This might be maybe a little more jig, yeah, but not really. This is called I Don't Want to Know.
Don't try to explain because I don't want to hear. Every word you say sounds so insincere. Don't try to explain. I've heard it all before.
Now, when you saw him at at Largo.
Yeah.
Was he still doing all this crazy dancing and everything?
He was, Largo, a little bit too small of a stage to handle Peter, but he got off the stage and came up and down the aisles, and it was a great show.
Entertaining guy to watch.
He's got a lot of energy. And
him and, who's the Black Crowes guy? Chris Robinson. Maybe like the most fun guys to watch do a show. It's really good.
Yeah, Peter Wolf has this, and you can't see me do it, but he has this where he... Yeah. He does this.
Yeah, kind of rolls his wrist.
I don't know what he's doing.
Roll him up, put him in a pan. He does that. And then kind of, but with kind of like an Axl Rose sidestep.
Yep.
Sort of serpentine thing.
And he's, just lanky and skinny and still looks good for, he's in his 60s.
Got to be in his 90s now.
He's in his 90s. But his first three solo albums were close to Jay Gower's band stuff. Yeah. And then the last four have been really like his own thing, which I really enjoy. And this is... The album was Midnight Souvenirs from 2010.
I mean, check that out. I told the story many times, right? That was the first concert I ever went to, like, you know, with just friends, was the Jay Giles band plus special guest U2 in San Francisco. And they
how does that work?
It was like 81 or something. They had, like I Will Follow was out, and there was a lot of like just U2 fans, and they were great. But Jay Giles could follow them, and they and I didn't really know how concerts worked then.
Did you say Jay Giles could follow them?
Yeah, could. Yeah, easily. I mean, because Peter Wolf is just that entertaining. And I didn't really know how concerts worked then because they're like, thank you, good night. And I'm like, wait a minute, they didn't even play Centerfold. What gives? Oh my God, they're coming back out and they're totally playing that! So I was a great time. Anyway.
And what was the reception you two got?
There were, there was like a lot of U2 fans there, like crowded in front, and people were going bananas. And I'd seen them on MTV a little bit, and I was still mixing them up with like the producers or whatever. I wasn't quite sure who they were.
And you know what's crazy is, Matt and I saw them when they played the Rose Bowl, 90,000 people. And Jay Gow's band, did they ever play to 90,000 people? I mean, that's crazy. I mean,
maybe like all combined, probably.
You got another one for us?
Oh, sure. There's when the talk of solo albums comes up to like the record nerd, there's like a holy trinity from like the 60s and 70s. There's your
Street Talk by Steve Perry.
That is not on it.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of a different one. There's Or, like the boat paddle thing, Or by Skip Spence from Moby Grape, who
Wait, that's on everyone's list?
Well, there's, like a certain kind of record nerd, like that, like Beck did a full cover version of the whole Or album. Like people worship Or, and it's kind of just like psychedelic, ramblings of a madman. So I didn't bring any of that today, but it's kind of worth checking out. And then there's I Am the Cosmos by Chris Bell from Big Star.
Number two.
Another guy who tragically died.
On my list.
But trust me, there's like a certain record guy. Like, how could you not play I'm the Cosmos? But probably the one that I did bring in.
Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Phil Collins' Face Value.
No, close. It is a drummer, though.
Okay. Damn it.
It is.
What'd you say? No jacket required? No. Okay.
It's Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys.
What is this called?
Pacific Ocean Blue.
Yes.
And this is the first single here, wasn't you? It's like the River Song. This is Dennis and Carl on this one. He was the only Beach Boy who actually surfed that we know.
Yes. And he buried at sea.
Yeah, cause of death, irony. He drowned. So you could see, like, it's kind of like a real, like, bluesier voice than the other brothers. That used to be a big highlight of Beach Boys concerts. He would come out front and sing, like, you are so beautiful. And you can look for the album that looks like it has Manson on the cover, because...
He's got the beard.
Got the big beard.
You know what? I just quick looked up a couple of little things on this. this album, it says the album peaked at 96, which sounds not good, and it's not. But it sold around 300,000 copies.
I know. That's what this is when people bought some records.
Yeah, man. I mean, now, if you sold 300,000 copies now, you are signed to, you get another album out of going.
Sure. Oh, man.
Also, Daryl Dragon from Captain and Tennille.
Hell yeah, he did.
Plays on the album.
Yeah.
He's the captain.
he is the captain.
And it says here that he had a second solo album. You didn't play anything off Bamboo.
Oh, I didn't know about Bamboo.
It says the follow-up, Bamboo. Maybe it wasn't completed.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Maybe it got buried at sea, too.
Maybe. Bamboo. Maybe. Bamboo floats, though.
That's true. Dennis Wilson, not so much.
So is it game time?
Oh, did you have any more?
I'm done.
Oh, you're done? Okay.
You have another one?
I had a couple. Well, which was your, if you had to pick a favorite Kiss solo album, it's no contest, right? Ace Frehley, right?
I was just going to say, but I do like Paul's and I do like Gene's. The worst is Peter's.
Yeah.
It is unlistenable.
That's the kind of sugar Papa doesn't like.
But Ace's is, yeah, exactly. But Ace's, that's a song.
Yeah.
It's a song on Peter's. I like the one too. I think we talked about this before where he just starts where he goes, "This is New York. Whoa." And he says, "Whoa." And he goes, and the song's called "I Can't Stop the Rain." It's terrible.
Oh, like Missy Elliott?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
But no, Ace Frehley's, that's a great, it's not just a great solo album as a member of Kiss. That's a great album.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's
Rip
It's
Out, Snowblind.
All good.
Speeding Back to My Baby. And I don't mean maybe.
Best selling one. Now, what is your favorite Beatles solo album?
Oh, boy. That's I don't know. I would really have to think about that. I lean more towards McCartney than Lennon, though.
I was up until game time, I was, it's got to be just by the sheer weight of All Things Must Pass. But then I had to zag at the last minute for Ram. It's got to be Ram, Paul McCartney.
That's a pretty great CD.
This is Too Many People.
And you're not including Wings CDs in there. You're just straight McCartney solo.
I guess, well, I think this is credited to Paul and Linda or something.
Yeah, but that counts. I would count this.
Yeah.
Linda was just there to keep him happy in the studio, you know what I'm saying?
Making some vegetarian frittatas, if you know what I'm talking about. That's what's wrong with this country today.
Yep.
Too many people reaching for a piece of cake.
Everyone wants their slice.
Yeah. Was your first mistake? You took your lucky break and broke into. Anyway, I was kind of a late adapter to Ram. You know, I was like Band on the Run or whatever.
Right.
But Ram's totally worth it.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even include any Beatles solo albums or Kiss solo albums on my list. I don't know. I just was like, eh.
Any others you care to mention now or forever hold your peace?
No, because we'll do this again sometime.
We'll probably do this again sometime. So, I had a game. This is an audio game, and this is going to stretch over because don't blurt out any answers, but
okay.
It ties in with our solo theme. This is called Name That Solo, and I've strung together a bunch of guitar solos. Seven guitar solos.
Okay, so I have to listen to all seven.
Listen to all seven. There's just little bits of each, and then...
Am I going to win tickets to Jack FM's seventh show this summer?
Yes, you are. Well, the prize is TBD, but if you can figure out who they are, go to our Facebook page.
Oh, so I'm not allowed to play this then?
But you could kind of play along, you know, but just don't give anything away.
Okay.
But, a couple of them are kind of obvious, a couple of them are a little bit trickier, but they're all like well-known.
So this is a game for the home listener.
For the home listener, and it is called Name That Solo. Matt. Name That Solo!
Wow. So, I think I knew like the first three, and then I was kind of a little bit lost.
And that's why people can, listen to this over and over again, and then, you know, maybe break it down or maybe use some of that Shazam software.
How do you string these things together like this?
I played that all. That was me.
Oh, okay.
No, I can shred. No, I was going to use Audible, but Audacity, but it broke, so I used guitar. you know, garage.
Garage band, you can do that?
Yeah, garage band.
No, I didn't know that. I don't know how to use garage band.
It's easy and fun. You should give it a go. Anything people should be aware of this week?
Yeah, I got, there's a couple cool CDs out right now. Sweetheart of the Sun is the fifth Bangles CD is out right now. And it's really cool. It's kind of hippie and dippy and trippy. And they do a version of the Nas's Close Your Eyes to close out the album. And that's the Bangles' new CD is out.
Open My Eyes?
Open My Eyes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, man, that song shreds. Yeah, I love that.
And then they, I'm glad you said that because I said Close Your Eyes.
Yeah.
And that's no good. And what else is out there? I still like the Red Hot Chili Peppers' new CD is great. And of course, Switchfoot and Chickenfoot. Let's see. I'm going to find out who scores higher on the charts this week. Battle of the Feet.
See who wins the Battle of the Feet. And if you're still reeling from our 1991 show, the documentary 1991, The Year Punk Broke, is finally available on DVD. You know, what we're trying to do is like lay a groundwork to,
yes,
to see why grunge was necessary. You know, that's why we played all that Chicago and stuff, just to see like what the climate was that made like this revolution. But this is, it's a great thing. A lot of cool, like, yeah, Nirvana clips on Youth. And
yeah, and one more thing about the new Bangles CD is they're down to a three-piece now. Michael Steele is no longer in the band, the bass player. So Matthew Sweet produced the CD, and he plays bass on the CD.
Oh, no kidding. I was thinking they should have got the former chair of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele. Get him to fill in. I bet he could. But he's got a...
Can he hold down the backbeat?
He's no Mike Huckabee, but he's, you know, he can play.
Huckabee rocks.
Yeah. But, congratulations to Piper, and I forget the other person who won our Girl's Guide to Record Collecting books. And in that book, it's a fun read by Courtney Smith. She really gives the business to boys who like Morrissey. So we want to send this one out to Courtney Smith. This is First of the Gang to Die. This has been a pretty good show.
I think it was a good show. We had some fun here.
All right. This is Gary Lucy.
I'm going to like this when it pops up on Facebook.
Here's my new sign off. This is Gary Lucy reminding you that rock and roll is good time music. Why don't you listen to it? Do you have any sign offs?
No.
Okay, bye.
I can't follow that.
Never been in love until you've seen the stars reflect in the reservoir, and you have never been in love until you've seen the dawn rise behind the home for the blind. We are the pretty petty. Standing on our streets, where Hector was the first of the gang with a gun in his hand, and the first to do time, the first of